facility for Heavenly Father. We're getting happy to be in this place that you set forth, Lord, and recognizing the fact that you're here, that the Lord Himself descended from heaven with a shout, bringing us the word, proving in this hour that that part of the rapture, that part, Lord, which is the first phase, the message has already been vindicated to us, and we know that we are in progress into that great final catching away, which we are aware of and we believe we are a part of because of the awareness. And therefore nothing will overtake us, because already we have been overtaken by grace of yourself. And we praise you for that, Lord, and we're very happy for it. We pray you'll help us now in the study of your word, that more and more of that part of the message, more and more of the shout, it will be absolutely one with it, because we know there is much more than simply hearing the word. There is literally the word becoming flesh. There is obedience unto it. All of these things there before us. So we pray you'll help us this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to express my thanks for the people coming to visit with us, Brother and Sister Miller and Edna from over in the Columbus Church, and I know others would be here too if they could, and good friends down from Canada, certainly appreciate them, and always glad to see the Greens and Odens, and of course everyone that's with us most of the time, you know. Years ago, I guess we should have kind of got taught a little lesson. We had to sort of split the family up for very few weeks until we got a house. So we had just enough place for one of the kids, and we kept our daughter. And of course, when the boys would come home, we would make such a fuss over the boys, our daughter thought we didn't love her. Later on, when she's much older in life, he said, "Listen, you idiot, why do you think we had you with us in the first place? And the others were gone." So, idiots, I love you. "I'm the nicest guy living." You say, "Well, you're dead." I said, "That's right." All right, you're all sweet. Appreciate you very much. But I think Brother Branham got me in trouble as usual. He went and opened up 2 Peter, and I found that 2 Peter was based on 1 Peter. And the more I read 1 Peter, the more I'm convinced I'm never going to get finished before I get out of here. And I'm not going to take 6 to 8 hours today by any stretch of the imagination. I'm going to have an awful job. Look at it, as usual. How are you going to read that? I took a little guttle copy machine and I put it on regular paper. Now I need to get legal size paper. But I got to be honest, I'm going to end up using a roll of wallpaper. I'd like to get someone to double or triple space everything, because I don't know how I'm going to get this read. Now, first of all, before we go to 1 Peter, which is the basis for 2 Peter, I have to caution you that 1 Peter is more or less the stature of a perfect man in many respects. And it is dealing with the people in this hour in which we live, in the light of the presence, the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. And it does not stress the mechanics of Elijah being here, of the literacy, that is right, the literacy, the very literalness, that's it. We've got some words mixed up, but literalness, of the shout, the voice, and the trumpet, as we saw in 2 Peter. Now, what I'm going to do, and it won't do you much good to follow your Bibles, or you can if you want to, I'm going to read from the expanded translation by Dr. Wiest, because it gives us a little better grasp of where we're at according to what Brother Branham taught us. Now, of course, there'll be many people who will be very critical of me doing this. I've been criticized so much now, it doesn't make any difference. All I say is, if you mind your business, I'm going to mind mine. And this was like Brother Brand said, this is my church. And it is. I don't care who owns the building. This is what God gave me. And I'm going to preach this exactly as I want it. And anybody gets the tape, when you get this far, whoever gets the tape, just close it off, send it back, or destroy it. Because this is my ministry, not yours. Now, this, of course, is nothing to you people here, but people get these tapes. And now we're going to read. Peter, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to those who have settled down alongside of a pagan population, sown a seed throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, chosen out ones. Now, a seed is planted for one reason, to get a harvest. And because God doesn't have grandchildren, which David Duplessis said, which I think maybe is one of the greatest statements any man ever made, and Brother Branham concurred, that these people are not responsible for bearing Christians. They're not. You can't produce a Christian, no matter who you are, because you're not born of the will of man or the will of flesh nor the will of blood, but you got to be born of God. You have to have been in the loins of God, so to speak, which is the minds of God. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. You would have to have been back there. So he said, you're like plants, and you're going to bring forth a harvest. You chosen out ones, that's the elect. This choosing or choice having been determined by the foreordination of God the Father. His Brother Branham said, God didn't say, I'll take this one, I'll take that one, I'll leave that, I'll leave that. No. He went according to the rule book. And the rule book was the Lamb's Book of Life and Book of Life. The names were already there. So as you manifested in your hour, you were swept in. And you were swept in from the area where you were placed alongside and amongst the heathen, to the end that you would be a harvest. Because that's why you plant seed, to get a result. Whether the harvest is a beautiful flower, or something to eat, or something else, you were put there to become a mature harvested Christian. The chosen out ones, that's what you were. Your choice having been determined by the foreordination of God the Father, those chosen out to be recipients of the setting apart work of the Spirit resulting in obedience. In other words, you had to be there for the Holy Ghost to work on. Because he wasn't going to work on anything that wasn't predestinated for him to work on. In other words, the obedience to the Spirit, when the Spirit called, you were the one that was going to respond to that call. And resulting in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace to you and peace, tranquilizing, peace be multiplied. The word tranquilize here does not mean like we take tranquilizers. But you'll notice how it is that this was going to be a harvest, and they were going to be tranquilized. And everybody's trying to get tranquilized. Really, the word is bombed. We do not want to get bombed. We want to become tranquil. And when you're tranquilized, you're not bombed. You're not esthetized. Anesthetized. To be tranquil means that you have a calm spirit in the light of problems, as well as you have a calm spirit when you're just sitting there enjoying yourself. Now, peace be multiplied. In other words, this people that Peter is talking to, and we are that people. He wants a serene people with a multiplied peace. And Peter said, well, if I could just get peace about this, if I just get peace about that. Well, you got it, honey. You got multiplied peace. What peace do you want this morning? Shall we go home? We have just about enough right now to make you wonder what's going on, eh? See, where's this great peace of here? You already got it. This great peace be multiplied to you elect, predestinated to be that seed brought to maturity, to be here tranquil in these last hours of the rapture. Because this is what he's talking. Now, therefore, at the end time, there is to be a tranquil people with multiplied peace. This is why nerves are so rampant, because the devil wants to catch you here. You follow what I'm saying? Because this is what's supposed to be. Relaxation under the seventh seal. So the devil's going to do his very best to get that punch in you so that you think you are missing the seventh seal. And thereby, you will lose so much that you could have in the interim. Because God has not reserved in heaven for us everything. There's a lot of it down here that we can take with us. Yes. The spiritual things that we acquire and accrue. Let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be eulogized. That's praised, glorified, lauded. Who, this God and Father, who is impelled or was impelled by his abundant mercy, has caused us to be born again so that we have a hope which is alive. This living hope, which having been made actual through the intermediate instrumentality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from amongst those who are dead. Now he says here there's a living hope. On the very grounds, he said, I saw him. Paul said, I was the last to see him, one born out of due season. He saw a pillar of fire, then caught up. And above 500 saw him at one time. And Peter is saying here, I want you to know that what we have is based upon the proof of his resurrection. And Brother Branham said, if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he is here now. He will prove that he is here now in the Spirit, which is what it's all about, because he's the Son of God according to the resurrection of the dead. He will do the same things he did when he was back there. So we have a living hope, which means we have something that is alive to us now. Now, resulting in an inheritance, imperishable and undefiled, that does not fade away, which inheritance has been laid up and is now kept guarded in safe deposit in heaven for you, who are constantly being guarded by the power of God through faith. Listen, for a salvation ready, but not yet ready to be revealed in a last season, which is epochal and strategic in its significance. Now, he said here, you that are just as much here by God a seed to come to a maturity, have something waiting, which we now believe we have apprehended as the very last generation, that they and all, and we especially now, have been kept to a last season of all seasons. This is the last. Wherein
there is to be revealed something to us which will prove that this hour is epical and strategic in its significance. Now, that's not in the King James, but that's the Greek. I never found where Brother Brand said I couldn't go to the Greek. So much for the idiots. Listen, I've got something to show you here. Epic. What's an epic? What is an epic? A particular period of time as marked by distinctive character, events, etc. The beginning of any distinctive period in history of anything. A point of time distinguished by a particular event or state of affairs. Epical. Pertaining to an epic or epics. The nature of an epic. So an epical season is a season which is a particular period of time marked by distinctive character and events. Now what's strategic? All right, what's strategy? Strategy or strategies. Also strategics. Generalship. The science or art of combining and employing the means of war in planning and directing large military movements and operations. The use or a particular use of this science or art. Skillful management in getting the better of an adversary or attaining an end. The method of conducting operations, especially by aid of maneuvering or stratagems. Synonym, a distinction is made between strategy and tactics. Military use, strategy dealing with the planning and directing of projects. Who did Brother Brandon say was here to take us into the millennium? So we are in a period which is epical and strategic in its significance. That's what we're looking at. Now, let's just go to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw and awed as those that have no hope. Now, Paul is talking to the living the same as Peter is. And Peter said, there is a seed reserved to an end time, same as Paul said. And he said, they have a living hope, an inheritance, and a revelation in a season which is both epical and strategic. That cannot be said of any other season. Now, what is a season? We're talking about it. Now, Brother Branham said, once you see this message, it's all you'll see in the Bible. That's exactly right. What am I supposed to see? You think for 1 minute that I'm going to say, oh, dear old Moses, come on the scene and float us down the Nile. Well, you say, no, you've got that kind of mixed up. I'd do that if I had what Enoch said. I said, well, what's the difference? Enoch, Shmenoch, Moses, Hoses. Well, that's exactly right. And I'm not flipping my lyric, getting flip up here. I'm telling you the truth. People do not understand one thing Brother Branham taught, perhaps above another. Seasons and word in a season and a portion in a time of a portion. They don't understand the measure of the word and the measure of the Holy Ghost. We do. Now they in a measure blandly understand it, but they do not pointedly understand it, and this is pointed. Now, at the time of the rapture, because this is basic to the rapture. The epical season is the rapture season. Now, Paul is Peter speaking on it. Paul is saying, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not take any precedence over them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a military command. A strategic season. Military maneuverings. The sixth and the seventh seal running concurrently. Because don't tell me he can descend and not be some sort of a coming. So Brother Branagh said that was the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a coming. Right. Oh, Brother Ben, he's been here 2,000 years. Now hold it. Take a look. You say you believe that? And believe 2,000 years? Something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. Only two ages have a prophet. 1 and 7. So I'm sorry. I don't care how present he's been. And he has been present. He was not present as he was there and is now. Because this is the hour of the commander in the epical season bringing a strategy. God has a strategy to get us out of here. The Lord himself descended with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, dead and first arise, and so on. Now listen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. For now is Christ risen from the dead, verse 20, become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead from among the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Half the resurrection is over, and the other half is coming into view. The Old Testament saints are ascended. It is soon our turn to ascend. Now it says, then cometh the end. What's he talking about? He's talking about this descent here. This coming that brings about a resurrection. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now he tells, that's military. Amen. That's a takeover. The season of the takeover demands a military stratagem. It demands a plan that becomes effective. That's why Brother Branham said, if the devil gets a hold of this, he'll mess it up. He can't get a hold of God's military command and plan. Only a prophet can do it. When the strategy becomes available to us, then every man sets his face as a marching order, and all the devils in fire and hell won't stop a bride from getting here. I challenge the devil this morning and any man living here. Nobody can do it, or this word of God's a lie. I'm not through preaching yet. Just wait a minute. We haven't hit all the verses here. He's going to put down all authority. The last enemy put down is death. Everyone's going to be under his feet. Now, for he must subdue all things. Now, the word subjection means a military formation. The commander-in-chief with his military plan has been revealed, and we are in marching order, or somebody lied. Somebody lied. I'm tired of making William Branham a liar. I'm tired of making God a liar. I ready to even quit preaching. Just tired of the whole stinking mess. Everything's a lie, 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 lie. Open your mouth. Lie, lie, lie. The devil's doing his, the gates of hell are against this revelation, brother, sister. And let me tell you, the gates of hell are against it. and the gates of hell will not overcome. If you think the commander-in-chief is not here, then you better read the third Exodus again. We took it all here in 3 nights, or 2 nights, I forget which. Page 35 to about 39, 4 solid pages. Revelation 19. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him called Faithful and True, and righteous he to judge and make war. High as a flame of fire. He's crowned. His bride is with him. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's coming to take over. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. When you're looking at that, don't you get all carried away like everybody else gets carried away, because the devil just likes to confuse your mind. And we're not here to have minds confused. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, what I read to you a while ago, so you're not confused. And it says, when his presence is here, that's the time when all authority starts to be put under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which the enemy is death. Everything has started to come into subjection. Now notice it says, else why are we baptized for the dead? If Jesus has not risen and is not risen amongst us, there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, then this is a bunch of hogwash. Because it says here, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they at his presence. And when the season for the military stratagem begins, let me assure you, brother, sister, the military stratagem does not come by a bishop. And it does not come by a pope and a cardinal. It doesn't come by a bunch of jackasses like you and me. It doesn't come by the smart, wonderful, educated, beautiful, marvelous Christian hogwash. That would come from hell. It comes from God himself. That takes a prophet. Military strategy. Military leader. Joe, you know a bit about the armed forces and you plan for them. The two of you ain't worth a plug nickel when it comes to this. And I'm worse than you are because I'm supposed to have some brains. I ain't got as much you got. Right? Sure, they're smart men in their own way, but they don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. William Branham didn't know anything. And he said, if the devil got a hold of it, he'd do great damage. Well, it's just too bad for Mr. Devil. That's why he's roaring. That's why he screams. We'll go into that. Christ the mystery of God one of these days, but not at the moment. Because this is the season. It's a juncture, see? We're into it. This is the great drama that's been going on for 4,000, 6,000 solid years. And further. The last 2,000 years, we've been building up to it. In order to return to headship. People don't even know we've returned to headship. How can you return to a thing unless you were there in the first place? Or how can headship return unless it was already here and went away? Then what came down? What came back? Something's wrong somewhere. Spiritual food in due season. Now, the last season has a significance. It is epical. Now we read that epical means there's going to be some events. Characterized, it has a character by certain events. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Now how are you going to know he's Elijah the prophet? How's anybody going to know? Oh, well, us great scholars will point him out. They said, John the Baptist, why that old stupid wiggle worm out there? He looks like a fuzzy bear. You think it's going to be a hard winter this year? They said, yeah, because John's got a fuzzier, bigger beard than ever. He looks screwy than ever. Yeah, it's going to be a tough winter, the old fuzzy bear out there. Said, you know, can't understand it. His dad used to work in the temple down there years ago. Tell me he had a supernatural birth. Maybe that's the whole thing. His dad was too old really to have any decent kind of sperm. His mother was too old to have any kind of decent ova. So you know how it is when women sort of conceive in the menstrual period, the guy's a nut. I guess maybe he's a menstrual nut. That's what they think of John the Baptist. Oh, they had to all figure it out. So finally, anyway, he begins to make a little impression out there because he wasn't as screwy as they thought he was. Some of the things he said made sense. Especially you could cut him down left and right. Well, you know, if you can't make him listen by being nice, you cut him down left and right. That's what Jesus did. Couldn't get the miracles moving, so he got the whip out. Got him going. So they said, well, now, who are you anyway? Well, he said, I'm Isaiah 40. I'm Malachi 3. Now, what I'm trying to get you is this. That man's got to identify himself. Now, remember, John didn't do one miracle. Well, I'll tell you something. He had Jesus come by and identify him. Then this man here has to be identified by the same Jesus. And he was. And he said, the camera took that picture, and another camera took another picture of a cloud of angels surrounding the face of man, and he said the same thing. Now, I want to ask you a question. What did he come for? He came because this is the epical season, a season that has marks and characteristics. And when Jesus in flesh had his epical season, he said, listen, you hypocrites, you lousy, rotten hypocrites. He said, you killers of prophets. He said, you can discern the face of the skies. He said, oh, yes, he said, for you've got that down pat. But he said, there's signs right here that's in the book. And he said, you can discern them too, but he said, you won't do it. An epical season of the harvest. The fan in the hand. One taken and one left, which is separation of the word. Yeah. They're being separated right now, too. You say what you want. I don't care what anybody says. The veil could be in process of being left right now, thinking he's a believer. Right, and you can, too, this morning. You've got one hope of not being a hypocrite. One hope of not being a hypocrite. You say, but Brother Bill, I'm sincere. I don't give 2 cents for your cotton-picking sincerity. So were the priests and people in that day. As Brother Branham said, the heathen are more sincere. Mothers offer their babies to crocodiles in sincerity to their God. I don't care how sincere and how much fruit you've got. I don't care how nice you are and how sweet you are and how you never tell a lie. You are a hypocrite if you say. I can look out there and I know tonight the sun, over this way, the sun sky being red, it's going to be nice tomorrow. And you can look at that. Say that, nothing to it. You are a hypocrite. If you cannot discern the season in which you live, which is an ethical season, which is a strategic season, which is the time where God has opened wide the seventh sealed book and disclosed the thunders. If you can't tell the prophet and know the hour, I don't care what you protest, you are a hypocrite. According to God, because you can look out there in the sky and say, that's right, lovely red sky. Yes, nice weather tomorrow. Hey, Lowry sky over here. Oh, better watch it. We won't take the boat out. Now you know what a hypocrite is. You thought it was something else. So done. When you get preaching, you find your mind expands. Without drugs. Never took one in my life to expand the mind. You know how to contract your mind? Get full of hell. Get Satan's word in you. You know how to expand your mind? Get the word dwelling in you richly. There's no limit to it.
Now listen. God's great drama, closing. Now anybody knows that if God had a prophet build an ark, that people say took 120 years to build, I suppose, I don't know, I'm not going to argue chronology or anything else. Because there's always the Weisenheimer who said, well, it wasn't 120 years. Who gives a rip? One African meeting of 30,000 converts and truckloads of crutches and wheelchairs was enough. More than enough. That's all it took. That's enough to make people realize something is going on. A great drama is going on. And when the man who was known for his utmost ability in the Holy Spirit, who could stand there and say, you know, the words of a man will not do this, was telling you only the word of God in him was doing it. You know that's an ethical season. God's got to be somewhere where he wasn't before. And we've got to be somewhere where we weren't before. But they keep saying, oh, it's just going on. Nothing has really changed. And the same people that say they believe that prophet, they're still back in Pentecost. All they've done is put a new patch on an old garment. And I don't like to see Brother Branham, that's patchwork. He proved to me he wasn't. That took care of them. In which season you are to be constantly rejoicing with a joy that expresses itself in a triumphant exuberance. Which season? The last season, which is the epical season. Now, do you know something? Jesus said, when all these things come upon you, lift up your head and rejoice because redemption draws nigh. Here's the squeeze coming down. Here's the tares maturing. Here's the ecumenical council going to come down upon us. But in the last season, it is said concerning us, under the seventh seal of relaxation, we are to be rejoicing with a joy that expresses itself in a triumphant exuberance. Now, that's pretty good. See, I like that. I do too. It's available. Not something that's not available. It is available. Now, what about that trumpet exuberance? It's for the last season. Let's go back to 1 Kings, pardon me, 2011. Here's a wise old king. And he's talking. There's a certain man, a king, Ben-Hadad, sent to this old Israelite, a word. He said, the gods do so unto me and more so if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. Big blowhard, you know, what he's going to do to this other guy. And the king of Israel said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that puts it off. He said, anybody can talk big. He said, now do it. Right. And when you've done it, he said, start talking. Right. Well, now just a minute. This says triumphant exuberance. Now, which one of you is very triumphant this morning? You know what? You don't believe what the prophet said. I don't believe what he said. That's what. We don't believe that he's here. Or if you say, so what? I say, great merciful God Elohim, why are you here? I'm here with my stratagem. And I'm putting everything in military order. And we're marching against the enemy. His bluff has been countered. I'm taking the dead out of the graves. I'm changing you and we're getting out of here. You say, well,
How is that? He said, because it's the end. So what do you mean? Well, he said, I told you through the prophet the seventh seal was the end of all things. And I told you over here in 1 Corinthians 15 some of the things that were going to be at the end. And I told you categorically, you said you believed Elijah was here. Now, either you believe I'm risen from the dead and have conquered death and hell, or either you don't. Now, if you believe I've conquered death and hell by proving, you say you really believe it, let's see if you really do, then you better be rejoicing because already you are in a glorified state, as the prophet said, through your justification, which is by the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of a risen God. So, well, I don't know. That's the trouble. Nobody knows. Trouble is, a bride ought to know. Back to Ephesians. Let's find out. Here's where I got cut off in Ephesians, you know. I'm looking at you. And I need to look at you. People don't believe this word. And they don't want it. But they talk big. Yeah, they talk big. Then they cut your throat. Don't try. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that knowledge is a pervasive knowledge that does something to you. Oh, everybody wants to do something themselves. Then open your minds. Now, let's get this flat, brother, sister, because listen, nobody wants to listen, even Lee Vail. I'm not hitting you and not hitting myself. Don't ever get that Lee Vail stands up here like he's so next to God, hallelujah, he's got it made. I am next to God in this respect. I am in Jesus, and He is next to God, if you want to put it that way. And that's not really the right way to say it either. But I'm putting it that way. But no other way. The knowledge has an effect upon the object. The subject is knowledge. And the knowledge is revealed word by the Spirit. It's a revelation. And that does something to the person. It's the former rain. It's the living wine that the Holy Spirit in the church age has said, you will not stop that wine from flowing. You will not stop the oil. Don't men sell it. That's a measure of meal for a penny. So they do everything. We'll get into this in a minute here. We won't have time, knowing no way to get to it. That's the second page. He said, you're not going to stop it. Go ahead. In this last season, triumphant exuberance, ushering in the millennium, the last season, Joel chapter 2, then will the Lord be jealous for His people, for His land, for His land, and pity His people. Verse 18. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to the people, behold, I will send you corn, wine, oil, and you'll be satisfied therewith. Now no more make your approach among the heathen. I'll remove far off you the northern army, will drive them out of the land, make the land, drive them to the land, barren land, desolate, face toward the east, see high and depart you at most, and his stink shall come up, his ill savor come up, he's going to destroy him because he's done great things. Now watch, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Now here is the earth restored in the animal kingdom. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. The pasture wounds your spring. The tree bears your fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad, children of Zion, that's the bride. Brother Brand said, when you see Zion, that's bride. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and caused to come down for you the former rain, and the latter in the first. Now, it's not first month at all. It's literally a duplicate of the first. The original word that was brought to the original New Testament church is now in fulfillment. It's restored. So what you see, restoration and the original plan of God coming to fruition. Now, the floor should be full of wheat. That's us. The fats overflows wine and oil. That's how we're blessed. I'll restore the ears that can't grow meat and so on. You'll eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, and you'll never be ashamed. And you know I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people never be ashamed. Now it tells you right in this hour that God himself is going to be in the midst, because he is the one with the stratagem. This is the epical season of deliverance. This is the windup. It's all over. And Satan tried to get a hold of the plan. He couldn't do it. And God came down here and put the plan in effect and let us in on it. And everybody says, oh, they're crazy. Oh, they're this. They're that. And they're crucifying you, fresh the Son of God, and we're going to get out of here.
Amen.
They denied the blood. Satan can roar all he wants, but he's been discovered for what he is, just the blood. People say, you're not going to get out of here. That's a lie from the devil. I am going to get out of here. As far as I know, I'm going to get out of here standing up. You say, well, you could die. That's right, but I don't think I'm going to die. No, I could die. I don't have a promise to die. It'd be nice if I did, but I don't. No, you don't fight with God and argue with God. You don't say, God, I'm going to go. I don't care if there's a promise. I'm going to die anyway. You can't deny God, the word of God and be a believer. There's no way you're a lousy hypocrite. See? Now, the last season winds up all seasons in order to start a new season, the same as in the time of Jesus. The law was until John. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law will never be restored. Now people think it will be. Or they think there's going to be a big millennium. And in the millennium there's going to be a temple. And people are going to come and offer blood and animals. What for? What for? Somebody, I can't buy it. The law is gone. It's been wiped out. See? The bruised reed he broke back there. The smoking flask he quenched. It's gone. It's finished. I don't care what Israel does. It's finished. See? No way it's going to come back. What's he going to do? He's going to bring the earth back and the people that are the children back to an earth that he predicated was for them under a certain condition. And you know what? They'll live up to those conditions because Satan is bound. There'll be no destruction. That's right. Chain of circumstance. It'll do it. Now, the law couldn't save anyone. It won't save anyone now. Couldn't do it then. Now, let's go to just a minute to Hebrews. I want to read a little thing there. Said after these last days spoken unto us. What last days? The last days of the law. Now, what's God going to do in our last days? He is not going to change his word. He is not going to change his system. He's just going to bring it to pass. He himself is going to do it. Look, the blood doesn't change for us. The Holy Spirit doesn't change for us. The Word of God does not change for us. God just comes down and works out his stratagem, which was sealed under the seven seals and the seven thunders. But now has been revealed. And the beautiful thing is this, understand, if you are in the shout, you are in the voice. You are in the trumpet. Because the prophet said, God does not take and add a dog cell to a human cell and then a cat cell. And if you're born again in the last church age, which you are, you'll fulfill this. In which last season? This epical season. For those who are kept by the power of God, guarded, reserve. Brother Brand said, if I had a chance to choose the age I'd live in, I'd choose this. I would have chosen the sixth church age. They finally smartened up. Forget the sixth church age. They can have it. You say, well, do you think you're doing better here? It's the only place I could do it all. If I was doing it, do better or worse, what's the difference? I'm here. You show me what church age was to have the triumphant exuberance. It's over.
Hallelujah.
We're laying our armor down. He's taking over. You don't have to worry anymore whether it's going to come to pass or not. Well, you see, I can go and get drunk then. Well, you're going to do it anyway, so go ahead. So, brother, hey, I'll commit adultery. Listen, if you want a prostitute, I'll give you $100 for one. I'll help you. Oh, yes, I will. Absolutely. That's what you want. You show your colors now. Let's get over it. I made that offer to some preachers. I mean it. That's what you want. I'll give you $200. She said, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. I'm just nailing things down. Nail it right down. Let's see where we're going.
Amen.
Don't give me this nonsense. You can play footsie here and there and something else. You're either in or out. You're not sitting on the fence anymore. People think you're sitting in the fence. Fall this side. Listen. This shout, brother, sister, took this one, left that one, took this one, left them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's over. Brother Man said, I don't pray for marriage anymore. I don't say don't pray for individuals. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's the only nation left. They're gone.
That's right. Amen.
Don't try to kid me, kid God. The epical season. Triumphant exuberance. Although, for a little while at the present time, if perchance there is a need for it, you have been made sorrowful in the midst of many different kinds of testings, in order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by testing for the purpose of being approved, that approval being much more precious than the approval of gold that perishes, even though that gold be approved by fire testing, may be discovered after scrutiny to result in praise and glory and honor at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now he said, listen, this which God is doing is out of your hands entirely, but there is something in your hands. You could be tested. Your own little personal faith that you got from God can be tested. See? To see at the time of this revelation, this hour, if you're here, that your own little personal faith in being tested, you stand up when the squeeze comes down. See? When the pressure comes. That little faith that you got that was in the lion age, and in the calf age, and in the man age, is in the eagle age. That little faith. And you will be tested. And the devil will throw a curve at you because you'll try to work on your nerves. And you say, now hold it, Mr. Devil. Your plan has been exposed, and you have been exposed. We have caught you in your lie. Because you said that we had to do something about this, and I don't have to do a thing. Now, I say, if you want to go out and get drunk, I'll give you the money. Because you might as well know who you are right now instead of waiting down the road. You're going to get caught flat with your feet flat anyway, so am I. If I'm pulling a bluff, you're pulling a bluff. You're going to, it's going to be manifest. This is a manifesting time, kid. Let's face it. I'm talking about the personal trying of faith, which faith we have tested day by day. And I've had preachers come right along. Oh, bless God, Brother Vail. We're so glad for his presence. And then soon as the pressure was down, when the fight was engaged, and unfortunately, name-calling came about, which it does and will. Oh, that can't be God. So God stands back and says, Mr. Devil, I hate to insult you. Pardon me if I do. Because you're really a very wonderful fellow. But did you know that you... Well, I hate to mention it. Because maybe you never caught it. But did you know that, well, naughty, naughty, that thing with Eve in the garden. We just don't talk about those things, do we, Mr. Satan? Sorry I mentioned it. How nice can you get? Brother, sister, don't count me in on that trite. Stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
Stand up and fight. It doesn't mean they did dirty tactics. and be engaged in vituperations and all those things. But listen, a lie is a lie is a lie. Now, at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is now, all the testing you went through to get to this place of relaxation, of exuberance, of the epical season, the stratagem of God, the supreme general commander-in-chief himself here to take over and has taken over, wherein now you know that he that hath begun the good work is going to perform it, that the separation has gone on, is going on, and maybe is entirely finished, we don't know. But you're already signed, sealed for delivery. You can rejoice with joy unspeakable. And you can know that even very shortly, what you've been through, you'll never be through again. You'll never be through again. It's all but over. Now listen, at the time of the revelation of Jesus, that was future because it didn't take place then. It's taking place now. Because that man there with the pillar of fire opened the book of Revelation, opened the seals, and opened the thunders, or did he?
Amen.
That's the question. Now, if he didn't do it well, he certainly had a wonderful way of making us think he did. Now, listen. Whom not having seen. Well, do you see it? No. Prophet song. You love because of his preciousness. In whom now, not seeing, yet believing. Do you believe in that picture? No, I don't pray to it. Ha! Maybe it wouldn't hurt if it did. I don't know. I don't believe it would be good. But that being an authentic picture, you got to be awful careful about it. Because it's not just a picture, it's more than a picture. That predates every single thing that the world's ever known. So I should be careful myself. I didn't mean to be rude concerning it. But look, that's just not something as though in its event. The epical season is the event. And that's the reason there's an epical season. That's the difference. It wasn't Elijah. William Brown was Elijah in the pillar of fire. In whom now, not seeing yet, believing. He said, you never saw him. And in my understanding, at this point, we still don't see him. Prophets on. Yet believing, you are to be rejoicing with an inexpressible and glorified joy upon the occasion of your receiving the promised consummation of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. I thought your souls were already saved. Evidently, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that token, your baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about that token, the Holy Ghost himself, come down and sealed us all in. Now, this is the basis for the rapture. Rejoicing in this great experience, this event, this hour, this season, the spiritual food in the due season, everything that is in this hour to get us over on the other side. Now, let's look what Paul has to say in 2 Timothy. I beg your pardon, 1 Timothy. 4th chapter, 6 to 8. Maybe it's 2 Timothy. Likely is if I know myself, yeah. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth, There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, his epiphania, his shining. And remember, he comes as a light. And Brother Brown has said he went back to a light. And that's what here. In the day of this light, look at the expectancy. Look at 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him that you when he shall appear. You may be confident and not be ashamed before him at his presence. How can you not be ashamed knowing he's here? Because you're not supposed to be. Something has happened. Something has happened so you can stand. Something has happened so you can be exuberant. You ever see these people, they go crazy when the pitcher or somebody, you know, he has a closeout in the team there. He's won the game by a closeout, or somebody's knocked the ball over the park wall and they put him on their shoulder, scream and jump up and down. I think we ought to get in the spirit of the same thing today with Jesus, like I've been trying to teach you. Something wrong, brother, sister. We ought to organize a cheer club for Jesus. We're supposed to. Not one of these mini-skirted bunch of floosies down here. I'm going to tell you something. The world is doing what we should be doing. But they're doing it with their mini-skirts and their chopped-off hair. And your filth. Your prostitute churches with your pimp preachers. Your ungodly slander of the word of Almighty God. Got a filth out there like the prophet said, something about a bunch, but it's nothing but a filth is what he said. He couldn't say a bunch of filth. He just branded the whole thing. Filth! Even his language was superb, but they said, oh, that guy couldn't talk English. Well, thank God he couldn't. Talk to heavenly language. And then he told us what junk was down here in the light of the heavenly language. And only they got insulted. Ha! Good joke on them. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It hath not yet come into manifestation what we will be. But we know that when he manifests himself, we're going to be like him. We'll see him as he is. Well, if that's not cause for great rejoicing, what is? Brother Branham told us, he said, it's cause for great rejoicing. The very words of the Bible that's brought out here in the expanded translation. Absolutely. Well, we got one page. Concerning which salvation prophets conducted an exhaustive inquiry and search. Now, this salvation we're talking about, which is the consummation in the epical season we're going over. Well, listen, when you're changing your body, what are you going to get saved from? Fat. I told you one glorified person can go through a mountain lid 50 miles wide and defuse every hydrogen bomb. Drive everybody crazy. You think of old Andropov has got a bad kidney. Just turn one glorified man loose. He'll be crazier than what he is now. Good thing one wasn't turned loose when we had Carter and some of the rest of them. They want to know the truth. Maybe something else was turned loose, the way the country's gone, concerning which salvation prophets conducted an exhaustive inquiry and search concerning this hour, this epical season. Listen, they couldn't know it. Or Satan wouldn't know it. Didn't even know what they're saying. Right, they didn't know what they're saying. Peter tells us that. Paul tells us that. Here John was a prophet in the book of Revelation. And he stood there waiting again and God said, close the book. Shut the door. I just supposed to take a good look and find out. He said, ain't nobody finding out.
Amen.
Till I tell him. How do you like them?
Praise the Lord.
You think that God can't do what he wants? Come on. I don't want to bring this down to a cartoon, but I want to get this thing across. Those who prophesied concerning the particular grace destined for you. A particular grace destined for us at the end time that no other group ever had. What is grace? An unmerited favor. Scumbums. of Revelation 3. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind. I could tell you something, but I won't. It really makes you know what this bunch of hypocrites are at the end time like. Yeah. Because they haven't... Listen, let's go to the scripture. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and don't know that you're wretched, miserable, blind, naked, scurvy, scummy, squalid, and haven't got any more brains than to blow about it. Like the filthy scum men that are writing books on their philanderings, and these filthy stinking women that are writing the same rotten books. For everything is glorified because it's wretchedly filthy and putrid and abominable. And people haven't got enough brains to shut the book. Mr. Kennedy wanting two women in bed at one time. His life one constant jumping in bed with women, but then jumping in bed with him. President of the United States? That's all we got. Ministering this message, seducing women. Out in Tucson, they were so anxious to get married, young kids. I said, you people make me sick. I suppose the rapture took place if you're trying to grab a virgin on the way up. That's cutting them down with you on it. I'm not against sex and marriage. But filth is filth. Rot is rot. There's a special grace given to this people. And I'm going to tell you, it's a special grace to know that you know that your sins are under the blood and you're as righteous as God. You're the spotless, sinless bride and this kind of junk that's out here. You bet. There's a special grace extended that God can look down. When his own word said, I just lumped the whole thing together and blasted. Because I'm going to send Elijah. What are you, prophet? I'm a prophet of grace. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he said, the great doctrine of sovereignty. And they said, phew. And they didn't spit on the prophet. They spit on him. Yes. I read it here. Paul, an ambassador of Christ to those who have been settled down alongside the heathen pagan population, sown as seed through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, chosen at once, is choosing. Choice having been determined by the foreordination of God the Father. Those chosen out to be recipients, the recipient didn't do the choosing. The recipient was the chosen one. Oh, said somebody, Brother Vail, you like to give gifts. Give me a gift. I said, fooey on you. I'm going to give my gift to whom I want. Oh, that's what the Bible teaches. I will compassionate whom I will compassionate. Have mercy whom I will have mercy. And those who said I don't have it, I don't have it for them. You see, I don't like that kind of a God. Then spit on him. Oh, Brother Branham, what a wretch. And the word comes back, he that refuses you has refused me. And the world refusing this bride has cut the final artery that would have given her some life, because the blood is in the bride. Because the bride is the blood of God. Because that's where the life is, sure. This particular grace, searching as to what season or character of season the Spirit of Christ who was in them was making plain, when he was testifying before him concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories which should come after these sufferings, to whom it was revealed that not for themselves were they ministering these things which now have been reported you through those who have announced the glad tidings to you by the Holy Spirit sent down on a commission from heaven, which things angels have a past desire to stoop way down, look into. Now listen, that makes people say, well, just a minute. You got that out of character, Brother Vail. What they were trying to look into was that the prophets were looking into the first coming. That's not true. They understood that first coming, and they were trying to place it as to what was coming out of it way down at the end, and they couldn't. It was hid from them until now.
Amen.
They couldn't put it together. And the devil couldn't put it together. Nobody could. This particular season, notice how the prophetic words of the cross caused men to probe where such blood redemption might be consummated. And it stops here with us. Back there it was probed. Here it's manifested. That's right. We're the people that are going to get it. Now he said the particular grace as to what season or character of season. What was the character of the season? Epical and strategic. A season where God was going to come down and do it. The Alpha and Omega principle. Also, each age has earmarks. As in the seventh church age. Seven church ages have earmarks. But especially from Luther, when the church began coming back. And it's always been confused as what that rapture's going to be. How are we going to get out of here? How are we going to be taken? The last season of redemption. Now listen, it says the good tidings were announced by the Holy Spirit, sent down on a commission from heaven. Now do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying what the prophet said. What Paul said. The Holy Spirit runs out. The commission runs out. Something has got to happen when the last person's in. Now that's the epical season. We're into it. Nobody knows when the last one's born again. But since he's here, it is this hour the last one has got to be born again. And the final separation is all over. I'll take this. What's he doing? By the word. This one believes the word. That believes the word. This one doesn't believe the word. Next one doesn't believe the word. But he said, come on. Come on. Goodbye. Go away. Come on. Fan is in his hand. And you know what happened when the wind of the word blows across him like that whirlwind it is? It ripped the stones out. It was a picture of ripping out the lively stones. Each one of us in the image of Christ. See? A miniature headstone. What did it do? The fan in the hand. The wheat was heavy and beautiful. It fell right down there in the beautiful garner. The rest blown away. What's the blowing away signify? The great tribulation. Coming into condemnation. Yeah, come on, let's go ahead and find what that's all about. Let's go to Psalm number 1. Brother Branham told us Psalm number 1 was our psalm. It's the psalm of the rapture, the psalm of the end time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, sits the seat of the scornful. His delight in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. That's over there in Malachi 3:16. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They got nothing to stand with. The wheat goes plunk, stands right there. You can't drive the wheat away. They stand right there. Let the judgment come. Hallelujah. The righteous blood of Jesus Christ. She's perfect. She's exultant. She's exuberant. See? Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're separated.
Right, amen.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Exactly, we're in that hour right now. We are the planting of the Lord. Now notice, Notice how it says your angels love to stoop down and look into it. And from the very first mention of redemption, they're stooping and looking. Let me add it. I got to see it. But the end time, they're turned loose and they come down.
Right.
Yes. Seven angels come down. Angelic forms, Holy Spirit embodiments come right down, sweeping that room day after day, and they look into it. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, heaven is on fire tonight.
Amen.
Bless God, every soul ought to be on fire. I tell you, I hope to God I get on fire. I hope to God I burn in hell. Because there's no middle road. There's no middle road. Leave your constant flame before God or snuffed out in the lake of fire and get it over with. You say you talk tough. I can't help it if I talk tough. I believe this for year after year after year as a child. Either make it or forget it. And let me tell you, that's the plan of God. You say, Brother Bear, what if they suffer? Then what if I suffer? I meant to suffer. Then don't tell me this word's not real. Not just stooping down, they came down. Let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians. First chapter, he said, Paul says the same thing that Peter see. We ourselves, verse 4, first chapter, glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecution and tribulations you endure, which is a manifest over the righteous judgment of God. Paul, Peter says the same thing about judgment, that you be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you and to you who are troubled. Rest with us. Relax. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty messengers in flaming fire. Yep. They become a part of it. How? By bearing us the good news. Didn't they do it when Jesus was born? Angels! They couldn't partake! But they stood there and said, Hallelujah, this is that one. Those same mighty angels. Same kind came down. Seven solid days, seven seals. It was too late. God had come down to take over.
Hallelujah.
That's why Satan's roaring. His days are numbered. His bluff has been called. His plan has been exposed. And here stands the mighty one. And they say, what's he doing? Well, who needs him? And so what? Now, if I'm right, I've got a right to scream and jump up and down that crazy. And if I'm wrong, then let me burn. Let me go to hell. But I have one satisfaction. At least I stood at the prophet and said he was here. And tried to give him some preeminence in a pretty rotten way. They couldn't come down before, but they can now. They're literally involved in it. Not that they get a part of it. But they came with him to bring it to pass. Listen, wherefore, having put out of the way once for all everything that would impede the free action of your mind, and what impedes your mind? Your stinking, stupid, rotten creeds and dogmas that you're brought up on. The Trinitarians and oneness and whodunits and God knows what. Church of Christ, Mennonites. They invented God, you know, the Mennonites. Little black hats. I wish a little black hat meant God. I'd wear two of them. You talk about stupid. Then they got the nerve to look at Pentecostals for talking in tongues. Let me tell you, tongues is more God than a crazy black hat. Then try to say a woman's covering is her hat. How would you men like to have a bald-headed woman to sleep with? I'm not being vulgar. It's the truth. The wife of your bosom? You didn't marry her just to cook your meals. You love her. Fat. What gets bald-headed by her a week? supposed to have hair. She wants to wear a hat, fine. That ain't got nothing to do with the scripture. Try to invent God. Once and for all, total separation from unbelief. Once and for all, what he said is right.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of it. It ain't going to hurt you. God's not out here to kill you. He's out here to make you alive. Wherefore, having put out of the way once for all everything that would impede the free action of your mind. Your mind is to become free. Yes, for the first time to think right, to get back before the devil, trample Eve's mind down. Yeah. Be calm and collected in spirit. I guess I just flunked that test by people's standards, but don't let them kid you. The reason I can preach this hard is because I do have that. And set your hope perfectly, wholly, unchangeably, without doubt and despondency, upon the grace. Well, that did it. You mean that this is mine, like the free lunch, and there's no such thing as a free lunch? Because somebody's got to pay for it. That's right. This is the free lunch that Jesus paid for it. By his blood. This is what God did. This grace. What grace? The grace that angels wanted to look into and couldn't. The grace that the prophets wondered about. How can God take a guy like us and kill us? Then raise us. Say, hallelujah. I got him down. I'll bring him up. We don't even go down. Old John R. Rice was right in his thought, but he was sure wrong in how he said it. He said if the rapture took place and a born-again child was in the arms of a harlot, yeah, he'd be caught up in a rapture. John R. Rice was exactly right in his thinking in this regard. It's all of grace, but a glorified man is not engaged in sex. No. There's no sex in the regeneration. But let me tell you, John R. said the truth. He put it down to where man is and said, listen, you men and you women, let's get this. Ain't nobody but nobody going to make it outside of God making it for you.
That's right.
There is a special grace at the end time. Now look at the grace that he sent this man to us. Look at the grace that he came down and met him on the river. Look at the grace that he showed us and proved his presence and proved that he's alive and proved he's our God. Now we weren't even asking for it. And if we had been aware that something could happen, would we have asked for it, dared to ask for it? And the answer is, well, not really. We might have said, now, Lord, look, I remember when I asked God for a certain thing when I was full of the Holy Ghost, first baptized Holy Ghost, which I don't mean the second time or anything like that. I knew that there was something available. And so I remember coming to the Lord, and I said, now, Lord, look, it's okay by me if you don't, but I sure like it if you would. And I meant it. And he said, you can. And it was. That's exactly why I can prophesy at certain times and know things are going to happen, but it's real. I believe it's something that is from God. I have no doubt of that. But it's not a part of my ministry. My ministry is this. So I stay with it. But if I were to have, and I do have at times, that peculiar thing that never fails. When it comes, it never fails. But it's got to be a God, of course. It's something that I said, now, Lord, if it's possible, could it be? But you see, it was in the Word. I could have it. But which of us would have come and said, now, Lord, we got this all figured out? You couldn't, because that was the strategic plan of the epical season. And it was spun. As a thief in the night. And nobody knew. Not even the prophet. He didn't know until he heard himself say it. And then he said, he said it, and his wife said, You said it. I said, Needy, you were down there at the river. Did you see that circle of light? She said, no, Lee, I didn't see it because I was always taught to obey Bill. And when he said, close your eyes now and bow your heads, I did it. But see, I heard the voice. And she said, you know what he said? I said, yes, I know he said. She said, you know when Bill came out of the water, he said, Bill, you know what? That was your voice I heard. And she said, he just grinned and walked on. And I said, that's exactly right, Meany. Because the Bible said he descends, but he doesn't use his voice. It's somebody else's. That is the Greek in 1 Thessalonians. So Brother Branham heard himself say, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message foreruns the second. When you hear yourself talk and God made you, it is indeed marvelous. That lets you know that your mind is plumb gone. Just like Brother Branham said, Lee, he said, all my thoughts are God. And I said, oh, my. All you got to do is to believe what he said, and all your thoughts are of God too. The grace brought to you upon the occasion of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what was open to us. As obedient children, not assuming an outward expression which does not come from your inner being. Oh boy, here we go right now. Now he said, look, in this hour, don't pretend you're a part of it if you're not. See, here is why I draw a line between character and phonyism. And here's where I'm always getting in hot water because Lee doesn't believe in character. I do believe in character. I believe in me and I am a character. How ridiculous can people get? So he said, I want to call their bluff right now with my little joke. Certainly I believe in character. What do we admire most is to see godly people. So listen, now watch this. At the time of this epical season, the time of this stratagem of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, obedient children, now, you hear the word obedient? Now hold it. Luke. Oh my. How can you wait another 5.5, 10 hours, 7, 12 hours, 13, 14 hours? Brother, listen. I tell you, I ain't going to hold you too much long by the grace of God. I'm going to get you out of here because I'm tired too. Now look at Luke, the first chapter. 17 verse. And he, John, shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. What is obedience? Believing the word. All right, now watch. We want to go here. Got to find it. As obedient children. Now, what are the disobedient? They don't believe. Not assuming an outward expression which does not come from your inner being and is not representative of it. Now listen, an expression pattern after the expression which you formerly, in ignorance of your past and desires, but of the pattern of one who calls you the Holy One, you yourself also become holy persons in every kind of behavior, because it has been written on record, be holy individuals, because as myself, for myself, I'm holy. What does it tell you? It says people are going to come right in this hour. See, I believe the prophet. And they're going to have a character. Oh, yes. They'll have character. They'll have fruit. They'll have gifts. They'll have obedience. They'll have this. They'll have that. But it's not from here. It's a phony thing. It is not what I told you over here in the book of Ephesians. Now, let's go back and look at it again. So you understand what we're talking about. Don't miss it. The eyes, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, verse 17, Ephesians 1, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. You understand what we're talking about. This is different. It hasn't happened before. Brother, you follow me? Listen, please, settle down for heaven's sake. Settle down, everybody, wake up and listen. Pentecost is dead. Amen. Dead. Then what's coming out of it?
not God. Not a character from God. This alone is real. If I read my Bible right, this alone is real. Then I don't care two bits what any man shows. He can die for his brothers, get boiled in oil. He can raise the dead en masse. He'd be the most beautiful, saintly creature ever seen. Until he can all but walk in the presence of God. And he hasn't died. Because it's not coming from this. You understand what I'm saying? Now get this flat, people, this morning. Because this is where the criticism always comes and the misunderstanding. He doesn't believe in character. No, I don't believe in that kind of character. Cry, I don't believe in it. Have it for yourself.
Amen.
You Pentecostals that are dead. You talk about a prophet. All you do is ride in these coattails. Anybody with a program looks good to you. You're the Winston Churchill's of religion. Give us the tools and we'll do the job. We'll lick Germany and the Russians, everybody. Give us the moolah. The money. Peter said, your money perish with you. The word is to perdition with you and your money. That's a polite word for hell. The lake of fire. Now, I'm not reading you something here, putting something here to my knowledge. I'm telling you exactly what I understand this word to be here. At this time of the revelation, there will be a holiness. There will be a character. There'll be fruit. There'll be obedience. There'll be manifestation that God's on the scene. And moving, although we don't do too much of that, see much of that, but we can. If you want to go for it, you can go for it. Lead me. Brother Branham said, Lee, I haven't lost one of my gifts. Where's that picture? It was up here somewhere. Brother Organ by took all those flames. He said, that's all nine gifts. I haven't lost one, he said. I could use any one right now. But it got to be told by God. And if you go in the room and God doesn't tell you, what do you do? Manufacture? Go ahead, my Pentecostal brother. End up with your spiritual leapfrog down there in the beaches. Women preachers. Nothing but a perversion. A filth, as Brother Branham said. Not assuming an outward expression which does not come from your inner being. If you have the exuberance over that, my brother, my sister, which we are recipients of, we are the donees, then that character, whatever is in here, will answer to it. Will answer to that word or it'll keep quiet. And we'll not be basing anything on our former ignorance. Well, we didn't know this. We won't be back there in the lifeless things. Because the jackass can produce even more than a horse ever did. But he doesn't know he's Mammy and Pappy. Adam knew his. God said to Adam, he said, you're going to leave father and mother for this gal here. And he said, yes, father and mother. Who's your father and mother? You see, well, these are carriers. Book brother said, I told you, I don't identify anymore. People say, I want to identify with Jesus, not me. He's the son, I'm a son. His sonship doesn't take care of my sonship. It brought my sonship back. That's what it took care of. I can identify there. But he's a son, I'm a son. And the Bible said, he's not ashamed to call us brethren.
Right, amen.
Why? Because we are of God. We're one source.
Amen.
What you're doing is identifying yourself for the first time, Mr. Horse. Not a donkey out there from somewhere. Well, the prophet said it. I didn't. I'm just copying the prophet. Ignorance of your passion and desires. women with character going preaching. Brother Brand said, I don't doubt, he said, God told Amy to preach because he said he knew she was going to preach anyway. She had a passionate desire. Women preachers, you can't shut them up. I had one woman tell me years ago, she said, I said, sister, women are not called to preach. Oh, Brother Vail, I just as soon doubt my salvation as doubt my call. And I could have said, yes, honey, you ain't got no call and no salvation either. But I was very nice, which you didn't believe I could be. Ha ha, fooled you. I said, honey, I understand what you mean, but the Bible still says women cannot preach because of me taking authority. No way. And don't tell me you don't teach, because if you don't use this Bible, that's the only way you couldn't teach. But the minute you use one verse, you're teaching. Those doleful, lovely, sweet eyes. And then her husband gave me the coup de grace, whatever it is. Is that what the word is? And he let me know that he always had a bad time, like I have a bad time. I'm not going to tell you what. You know what it is. I flare. Certainly. I'm a percussion cat, just one little kick and she blows. And he said, you know, brother, I want to say, I always was edgy and this and that, but he said, one day when the blood and oil came on my hands, a token from hell. Come on, get it! Say, Brother Bale, you're blaspheming. I'm not blaspheming. The prophet said where it came from. Sure did. He became sweet and nice and kind. So, Sherry, if you get upset in school teaching, don't look for nothing. You already got it. Don't look for nothing. Look at what's here. There's no blood and oil in the Bible, brother, sister. There's none of those things in the Word of God. Ignorance in their passion desires. But after the pattern of one who called you the Holy One, you yourself also become holy person to every kind of behavior. You're coming up that stature now. The brother Branham said, listen, here's what God said you could have. Faith, virtue, temperance, knowledge, patience. Keep moving. Oh, I love them gifts. I love this here. I love that there. Hold it, hold it. You yourself are moving with him in the quietude of your own soul, spiraling up here. Not that you're going to be some great person. Stand there. They look at you, but you have that character that came from that light, my brother, sister. And he said it's birthed into you. When you're born again, it begins to come. It's there. Don't ever doubt it's there, because it is there. I told you I quit preaching years ago. I couldn't stand up to the test. I knew God healed, but I couldn't believe him. I quit preaching. Couldn't seem to believe for anything. The day came when I knew I had to come back, and that's the fellow did it. So, Brother Branham, just take all the blame. You're the one. I saw you in 1947. I cried for 2 hours. I knew it was all over. I dusted off my ballot, put it back to get some more dust. Bought a black suit. Every preacher got a black suit. You gotta look like a crow, you know. A few stripes. So I hung it up in the closet, but I wore it. A couple of years went by, I was wearing it. Yep, I went back this time. The sick were healed. I just soon die and not trust him. I trusted him. Not like I should, I know, but he honored what little I had. That's what we're talking about, brother, sister. Not you being some big shot. That's out there. Like Peter said, women, he said, you're dressing yourself, he said, to attract the world. Now he said, it's nice to be attractive, but not to attract the world. And that's the church. And the church is full of church members want to look good, but it's not because of the light that shone in this hour. Of the stature of perfect man. A living, moving idol, as Brother Branham said. And he said, that's the basis of the whole thing going in the rapture. I'm not going to finish. I don't know if I'll even finish this. That's right. But you can see what 1 Peter's all about. He's laying the thing. How are you going to get out of here?
Now we're telling what's going to get out of here, see? Sure, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this afternoon. We appreciate your kindness, your goodness, your mercy. All these things, O God, have devolved upon us of your love and grace. And Lord, as we think of these things that you bring to our attention, we know that, oh, how marvelous, marvelous it was to have a prophet come in and lay them out before us. And now we see them ourselves. And we know, Lord, that that beautiful plumb line is here, that great, wonderful judgment is here in Christ our Savior. And it's all of grace. It's marvelous. And we don't even pretend to understand anything, Lord. We just know that something is moving around. We're getting a little lick every now and then of the, as it were, of the revelation of the pillar of fire moving amongst us somehow, Lord. A little bit is dropping off here and there, and we're so happy for it. We're so just so glad, Lord, that these things are crystallizing or whatever it is in our lives and our minds, our hearts, these wonderful things of God. Father, we long to be more like what you told us to be. We long to be that stature, to come right up all these things, Lord. And as the prophet said, the strongest point of any chain is this weakest link. And that's exactly true, because we know, Lord, it means that that's the place where Satan will keep hitting us. But one day, Lord, it ain't going to work for him. It isn't going to work, because we're going to get out of here. Lord, we know that we're going to be in that stature. We're going to be in that image. There's nothing Satan can do about it. There's nothing he can do about it. He's been exposed. And we thank you, Lord, that we're marching now. We were the ones that are in full battle array. The commander-in-chief. You are our commander-in-chief. Hallelujah. The prophet has been gathered to his own. The last prophet, great Gentile prophet, the last father has been taken away. And all things do not continue since he's gone. No way, shape, and form. But, Lord, we're getting closer and closer, and it's more wonderful. And I know, Lord, that there isn't going to be one bride that isn't going to stand any full test. What devolves upon her, there's not going to be one bride that's not going to make it. There's everyone going to be standing here, because it has been predestinated.
Amen.
And we're glad to that you're going to do it. This grace in this season, this epical season of the great stratagem of God, wonderful to know that we're here, we're into it, and we're moving to the very end. Bless everyone, Lord. Let the exuberance that of victory and overcoming that Peter spoke of, that Paul spoke of, let it, Father God, I know you'll let it, Lord, but if we're not too good at letting you do it, I pray that as of this minute, that's all gone. It's all gone. Because, as we said last night, we want to get out of the way, and that's good. Now, we want to do the same thing today, so that you have full course in our lives, and you be glorified. And we can't praise you enough, Lord. I know we're human. I know we still got minds that are a little bit foggy and muggy, but I know, Lord, that it's no matter what happens, we come right back and say it's true. And we know that that's just cutting deeper and deeper until the image is going to be there. And that wonderful image, that great stone that's in our lives right now, this precious stone that we made our headstone. I know we don't do too good by him, but we've made it. And he's beginning to bust away everything from our feet and from around about us and in us until that real image is going to come forth. And we thank you for it. Lord, we don't believe one person is going to miss it. We thank every person here. Now we pray for journeying mercies for those that are going away from us. And whatever happens, Lord, if we never meet again, I pray, Lord, that on this earth that we've certainly meet on the other side in glory. And we're going to meet right here on earth in a glorified form. And love each other until it's all out of our souls and we're ready for just to have nothing left but wonderment for the great God incarnated before us. Lord, what a day that's going to be. And we don't even know what we're talking about at this point. Just no way can we know. But, Lord, it's coming and coming, and I believe that we're going to know. Absolutely caught away with this tremendous, tremendous exuberance. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you love him? All right. Oh, how I love Jesus. All right, sing it. I love Jesus. Oh,
How I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Let's sing, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior Divine, now hear me while I pray. Take all my thoughts away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly Thine. Remember, it was the bleeding lamb that opened the seal. And I tell you frankly, I'm still impressed with the bleeding lamb. There's no preacher who will ever take away from me the blood and the exaltation thereof. I cannot conceive of anything but the bleeding lamb. My brother and my sister, when God incarnates Himself, those wounds are going to be there. Yes, sir, I love the blood today because, oh, precious is the flow that washed me white as snow, no other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We stand here in this marvelous grace of God, sinners walking into the very tree of life and eating. May, listen, that's never been. Angels wanted to look into it, and they finally brought it to us, and they still can't have it. Oh, listen, but isn't that wonderful to know? Yeah, marvelous. Dawn baked a beautiful cake for my wife, and then she had to give it to my wife, and she couldn't even cut it neat. And my wife owns the cake. Angels brought this glorious thing down here. All they could do is present it to the bride, right?
Hallelujah.
They can't cut the cake. Oh, no. We're already eating. We're already at a sort of wedding supper, a miniature sort of thing. All right, my faith looks up to Thee.